It's of course an honor to be here today, as I say every week. One of the highlights of the week is to be with you and to talk Divrei Torah. This week's Parsha Shalach, such a jam-packed Parsha. And we're going to do like we do every week. We're going to ask a couple questions, and then we're going to come out with that major yisod, that major foundation point that we could bring into our lives in a very real way. The Torah tells us in Parak Yud Gimel Pasuk Aleph, Vayidaber Hashem el Moshe Leimor. Hashem speaks to Moshe, Shlach lecho anoshim v'yatiru es ha'aret eretz kenan, asher ani noten lebnei Yisrael. Hashem says, send people and let them go and spy out the land that I've given you. Ish echad lemate avosav. Rashi says right away in the beginning of the Parsha, why is Parshas Meraglim connected to Miriam? Because just like Miriam got punished over speaking Lashon Hara, so too they didn't learn from the mistake and they also spoke Lashon Hara. Question number one. These were the greatest leaders. How is it possible that these great leaders, how did they mess up? How did they speak Lashon Hara against Eretz Yisrael? Eretz Yisrael, our land that this is the land of the Ribbono Shel Olam. How could it happen? Question one. Question two. When they go and they go into Eretz Yisrael to see it, to check it out, it says there's something very interesting. They come into Eretz Yisrael, and again, maybe they didn't go in with the best intentions, but it says in Parak Yud Gimel Pasuk Chaf Gimel, V'yavo anachal eshko v'ayichlich misham zimora v'eshko anovim echad v'yesu b'mod b'shnayim u'mina rimonim u'mina te'enim. They say, you don't even know these fruits are so big. But if you look specifically, what fruits are they talking about? They're talking about the anovim, they're talking about the grapes, they're talking about the rimonim, they're talking about the pomegranates, and they're talking about the te'enim, they're talking about the figs. Ask the great Rav Menachem Zemba. Again, when you have Shas in your fingertips, he was the great, he wrote a beautiful sefer, it's called the Zera Avraham, on Masechet Shabbos. He was actually killed tragically in the Holocaust, he was one of the Gedolim. He says that if you look in the Mishnah Bikurim, Paragimel Mishnah Aleph. The Mishnah says that, right, we're tying when you have Bikurim, the first fruits, and we know what fruits does it say? It says the Anovim, the Rimonim, and the Te'enim. Says Rav Menachem Zemba, there's a Medrash that says that the Bikurim fixes up the sin of the Meraglim. Question two. How does these three things fix up? Why specifically, again, we have Shivas Minim. We have the Shiva Minim in Eretz Yisrael. Why specifically these three? And how does this fix up the sin of the Meraglim? And lastly, at the end of the Parsha, again, we have so much about the Meraglim. The Gemara tells us in Tainus that there is a Bechiyah Lidoros, that there was a crying for generation, and we know that the Gemara, the Mishnayos and Tainus says that one of the things that we still suffer today is we have Tisha B'Av, we sit on the floor, and we have Tisha B'Av because it all started with the Chet HaMeraglim, and Hashem said, I'm going to give you a Bechiyah Ledoros, I'm going to give you that you're going to be crying, and we still have Tisha B'Av because we're, again, the first and second Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, but the Chet HaMeraglim started it off. But at the end of the Parsha, there's a couple of mitzvahs that the Torah talks about. First, the Torah talks about the mitzvah of the Nesachim, the idea of the wine libations. And then it talks about the mitzvah of Challah. And then right at the end, it talks about the mitzvah of Tzitzis. Do these mitzvahs have anything to do with the beginning of the Parsha? Obviously, when you ask the question, obviously it does. But do these mitzvahs have anything to do with the Meraglim? How is the Nesachim and Tzitzis, how do they have to do with the Meraglim? So let's just chazer over. The first question is, how is it possible that these great leaders, how did it happen that they messed up, that they spoke about badly about Eretz Yisrael, Question two, why specifically the anavim, the rimonim, and the te'anim, why specifically these fruits did they pick? Rashi says that they were so big and you had two or three people carrying them. Why specifically these things? And lastly, why, how does tzitzis and the nesachim and challah have anything to do with the meraglim? So what's the yisai? Comes along the great Chofetz Chaim. We know that Chofetz Chaim lived right before the Holocaust. He lived in 1838 to 1933. In 1873, he wrote the Shmiras HaLashon. Now, what was so unique about this Shmiras HaLashon? What the Chofetz Chaim did, there was no sefer that specifically spoke about Lashon Hara. And what he did was something amazing. He took all the Gemaras in Erechin, Gemaras in Baba Basra, and he took all the different Gemaras, and he put it into one big sefer that was never found before. And again, he wrote so many Svarim, and the Chofetz Chaim, he wrote the Mishneh Berurah, as we know, he wrote the Be'er Halacha, but this Shmiras HaLashon was tremendous, and he speaks a lot about the sin of the Meraglim. And he says, you know what the sin of the Meraglim was? That they didn't believe in their Tzelem Elokim. They didn't believe that they had power. They didn't believe in themselves. We know that it says in Parak Yigimel, Pasuk Lamed Aleph, they come back and what do they say? Anachnu kichagavim, who are we? We're just like grasshoppers. We can't accomplish. Who are we to do anything? You know, it's very interesting that Rav Soloveitchik says, he quotes the Ramban, that really it makes sense. It makes sense that they went, they had a strategic plan. Whenever you want to see something, right? The Gemara says in Kiddushin that if you're having a relationship with someone, you have to see them before you get married to them. If you want to marry the land, again, you're not really marrying the land, but if you want to have the land, and this is our special land, you need to see it. So, however, what was the problem? The problem was, is that they didn't believe in themselves. Comes along the great Netziv, Naftali Svi Yehuda Berlin, Rosh Yeshiva V'lajin, and he says a little different than that. He says, you know why? You know why they didn't want to go into Eretz Yisrael? Because in the Midbar they had everything easy. They had the Anani HaKavod. They had the Mayim. They had the Man. They had everything easy. And they knew, and they were afraid of the challenges that were going to be faced in front of them. We know the Gemara says in Brachos Daf Hei that Eretz Yisrael is nikne bi'isurin. Again, Eretz Yisrael, we're in Eretz Yisrael, and we love Eretz Yisrael, and there's so many amazing things, and we have the Kaisel, and Bezos Hashem, we have to daven harder, the Beis Hamikdash comes, and this is our land. But again, it's not so easy. So the Meraglim said, what do you mean? We have everything. Why would we want to leave the Midbar? We have everything we want. If we have everything we want, right? And they looked at everything negative. Everything in life, you have the ability to look at it half empty or half full. The Medrash says that when they came in, they saw a lot of funerals. So what did they learn out from that? That there's people always dying. They didn't try to look at the good. Refrain brings down in the Sefer that it says in the Pasuk Ur-Isem that they saw, you know what they saw? They were looking at the bad. They didn't want to look at the good. Why? Because they were afraid of challenges. You know, we all have challenges in life. We all have hardships. No one's perfect. And we all have to work through our challenges. But you know what growth is? Growth is that when you have a challenge, and again, no one's perfect. Sometimes you look at the other guy and you think everything's good for him. No one has it perfect. Everyone has challenges. But a person looks within himself and he says, listen, I might have challenges, but these challenges are for me to grow. Hashem gave me specifically these challenges, whatever the challenge is, but it's for me to grow. You know, Yehoshua and Kalev weren't affected. It's very interesting. The Medrash says that, we know the Gemara tells us in Brachos and Daf Yud Gimel, that don't call Avram anymore, call him Avraham, because now he's Hamon HaGoyim. Don't call it Sarai, call it Sarah. And the Medrash says that the little Yud was waiting up in the sky, and it was waiting to come down, to come to the name of Yehoshua. Why? Because Yeshua needed protection. He needed protection from this negativity. He needed protection that I'm not going to be affected by the Meraglim. And you know what? Kalev came along and Kalev said, first he opened up saying, oh, Ben Amram, he thought he was going to... Rashi brings down from the Medrash that everyone thought he was going to speak badly about Moshe Rabbeinu. And he starts talking about Ben Amram, and then what happens, says Rashi, he starts talking good. Because all the Meraglim wanted to hear was the negativity. But Kalev switched it. And where did Kalev go? Kalev ran to Maris HaMachpelah. Why did Kalev run to Maris HaMachpelah? Because that's where the Avos were. That's where the Avos are buried. And we know that the Avos are great Avos. Their lives were about challenges, but greatness. Avram had so many challenges. He spoke about in Lech Lecha. Obviously, remember, right? He left it. And he said, I'm just going to go. Hashem commanded me, but Lech Lecha. He had challenges. But look what he created. We come from Avraham. We're about Avraham. We're about Emunah. We're about Bitachon. We're about, we might have challenges, but we're going to persevere. Look at the life of Yitzchak. Look at the lives of Yaakov. Yaakov, how many challenges Yaakov had that he had. He lost, he didn't know where Yosef was. He had to deal with the crazy father-in-law, Lavan. He had so many challenges, but he came out because he realized that through the challenges is greatness. And we have to realize that. Again, we might be faced with challenges. We're going back to America soon. And we might have challenges thrown at us. Right? We might not be in the environment that we want to be, and might want to learn a little more. And the more a person realizes, okay, I might fall a little. I might not do as much as I can. But I'm going to hold on. I'm going to realize that I could do it. I'm going to bring growth into my life. Why specifically these three fruits? What do these three fruits represent? So I once heard from Rav Ari Leibowitz, right? Moshe Urim on YU Torah. He's unbelievable. So he says that each one of these fruits represents a different idea. Teina, a fig. So I actually Googled it yesterday. Right? A fig. A fig is constantly growing. There are different seasons in about it, but constantly. Little by little by little by little. A fig, that fig. You know how you're going to get greatness? You're going to get greatness by a te'ena. You know what a te'ena is? Te'ena represents consistency. Every day. Sometimes people have consistency the wrong way, right? Every day they are consistently, whatever. But no, we're going to say te'ena. Te'ena represents the idea of consistency. What's Rimon? Rimon, the Gemara tells us in Rosh Hashanah, the Gemara in Brachos, tells us that Rimon represents the 613 mitzvahs, right? As we all know, that Rimon has 613, even though no one has ever counted all seeds. I don't know, someone once told me I once counted. I don't know what he was doing. That's a long time, count 613 seeds. It's a little weird. Don't get it on your shirt. It's a nice stain. You gotta watch yourself. But again, the Gemara says that there is, because it's not just about consistency. It's about doing stuff with your consistency. And it's about the Rimon. And what does Geffen represent? Geffen represents that whenever you have something chashuv, whenever you're involved in an event, whenever you're doing something, you always put wine on it. It's the idea of mindfulness. It's an idea of putting something chashivus, putting the wine on something. So again, Te'ena is the consistency. The Rimon is the mitzvos. And the Geffen is the chashivus. In order for a person to have greatness, in order for a person, even though the Meraglim didn't believe in themselves, they said they can accomplish, but we know that you could always accomplish. Everyone has the ability to accomplish. I remember there was a certain Bacher, and he couldn't wake up for Shacharis. So everyone's like, uh-oh, he's talking about me. No, that's true. Right? There was a certain Bacher a couple of years ago, and he had a problem waking up for Shacharis. And he was frustrated. He really wanted to. And that was his struggle. Again, he had other struggles also. We don't have to talk about that. But he was very frustrated. So I said, listen, this is your challenge. Let's go little by little. So then he turned to me. He's like, Rav, you might also have challenges. You work on something, and I'll work on something. So I said, listen, I want to get to shul a little earlier. Right? I want to get to shul a little earlier. And I also want to exercise.
So maybe I'm going to try to exercise and get to Shua. I'm not a morning guy. You know, there's certain morning people. Right? Usually sometimes it's morning guy because he doesn't go to sleep at night, so it's easy to be a morning guy, right? Because he didn't sleep the whole night, you're up, right? But there's some people that are morning guys, and there's some people that are not morning guys. Again, if you go to sleep at 4 o'clock in the morning, you're not going to be a morning guy unless you're Superman. Yeah, but so I told him, listen, you go to sleep earlier, that will help you get up for chakras, right? Ezu chacham aroya sanayilad. So you're having a problem getting up for chakras. So you have to go to sleep at 1 o'clock. 1 o'clock is deadline. Turn off your phone. No excuses. 1 o'clock. He's like, 1 o'clock, I go to sleep at 4 o'clock. I'm like, okay, you got to change. Maybe you don't change it right away, but go little by little. So I remember that we started doing this. This was a couple of years ago. I remember the first time that I woke up earlier. I actually walked up. And Givat Zev is a major mountain. I walked up a big mountain. I thought I was gonna die when I came down. Whatever, you know, I'm not in the best shape, as they say. Round is a shape, but yeah. So I got down, and then it was early in the morning, and then I went to shul, and I was like looking at all the people that come late, and I'm like, what's wrong with that guy? How come that guy's coming late? What, you don't believe Hashem? He gives you the idea to talk to him today, right? Obviously, after a couple of days, whatever. I'm not saying I was that guy, but maybe I was that guy. But that what happened? That guy also accepted the challenge. And after, again, you know, sometimes we peter out a little and fall down. But during the time that we were working on it, and we were working on our challenges, and it was not easy, but we felt great. And I remember every day we spoke about it together, and every day he said, "Yeah, I did it." And then I said, I did it. And it was great because we took it upon ourselves. If we want growth, we need to realize that we can do it. We can do anything we want as long as you set your mind to it. If you have the passion. If you don't have the passion, you can't do it. But if you have the passion, you could get anything done, right? We always love the underdog. Why do we love the underdog? Because the underdog is a person and no one expects them to win. And then they persevere, and they say, I could do it. And that's what we're here in life. Hashem has given us all these things to persevere. What's the nesachim? What's the challah? And what's the tzitzis? How does it fix up the sin of the meraglim? So we know that the nesachim, the mishnayos and sukkah, which we learned this year, the mishnayos say that you take it and you pour it on the top and it goes down to the aretz. You take something holy and you bring it down to the aretz, right? Shamayim and aretz, that's the goal. Taking something holy and even something that's mundane, making kedusha. What's challah? We take off the challah and we give it to the kohen. You take food, something mundane, and you bring kedusha into it. Because that's the idea, showing the loyalty to Hashem, that it's not just about me, it's about the Ribbono Shel Olam, getting out of yourself. And what about tzitzis? What does tzitzis represent? The Gemara tells us in Menachos, Daf Lamed Ches, that we know that we have white, and then we have the blue, Techeles. So some people wear Techeles, some people don't wear Techeles. We're not going to get into a halachic debate. But we know that Rav Soloveitchik says that white is clear. Blue is a little unclear. Sometimes you have blue. But the Gemara says something else. You know what blue represents? Blue represents the Kisei HaKavod. Realizing that Hashem is in our lives. Hashem wants to have a part in our lives. Tzitzis is Kabbalas Ol Malchut Shamayim. The Gematria of Tzitzis is 600. The 8 strings. The 5 knots. The loyalty to Hashem, the consistency. We all want to be consistent, and it's hard. That's what, you know, a lot of people, that's their main struggle, is just being consistent with themselves. Not consistent in a bad way, consistent in a good way. But you have to be consistent with the mitzvos. The Gemara Tosis brings down in Shabbos and Daf Nun Zayin that when we wear our tzitzis, it's a badge of honor. We are showing Hashem that we want to serve you. We want to serve you. We want to thank you for everything you've done for us. You've done so much. And we need to thank him. He brought us into this world for a purpose. He brought us in this world
to get close to him. Told the story before. It's a story with the Sfas Emes. Sfas Emes got up and he said to his chassidim, if you are machavin in Ana Hashem, so therefore you're going to have great things are going to happen to you. So there was a whole fight amongst the chassidim. Is it Ana Hashem Atzlicha No? Is it Ana Hashem Oshia No? And they got into a whole fight. Which one is it? Hashem's going to give us success? Is Hashem going to save us? They're going back and forth. And they decided we'll have kavanah in both. They come to the Sfas Emes. And they say, Sfas Emes, which one is it? Is it Ana Hashem Oshiana? Is it Ana Hashem Atzlichana? And the Sfas Emes turns to them and says, no, it was Ana Hashem Ki Ani Avdecha. I am your servant. Says the Radak, this Ana is spelled differently. It's spelled with a hey, because it means Hashem, I'm thankful to you. I'm grateful to you. Ana Hashem ki ani avdecha. I'm a servant to you. So tzitzis represents the idea that I'm doing the mitzvos. And as we said, gefen is the chashivos. Rimon is doing those mitzvos. And the te'ena is the consistency. We have to realize that the Meraglim messed up. Answer number one was the Meraglim messed up because either they didn't believe in their Tzelem Elokim, says the Chafetz Chaim, they didn't believe in their potential, they didn't believe in what they could do, or they were afraid. They were afraid of going into Eretz Yisrael. Why specifically the Anavim, the Rimon, and the Te'enim? Because the Anavim represents Chashivos. Oh, you're so Chashiv. The Rimon represents Mitzvos, and the Te'enim represents consistency. And why the Nisachim and all these different things? Because you take Shamayim and Aretz. You bring lofty Shamayim and Aretz, and you bring it together, and that's why we're in this world. Let us realize that we might all have struggles, but don't run away from the struggles. Take on the struggles. Take on the hardships. Everyone has ups and downs. That's what life's about. But hopefully there's going to be more ups and downs. As Hashem, as a Shir, as Klal Yisrael, we need to take upon ourselves and realize that HaKadosh Baruch Hu put us in this world for a purpose. He put us in this world to accomplish, to bring Tzelem Elokim into our lives, to bring the Torah into our lives, to bring the Chesed into our lives, to bring the mitzvos and the consistency of doing everything. Bezes Hashem, everyone should have an amazing Shabbos, an amazing Parshas Shalach.